You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And happy Tuesday to you, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester. Max Power is producing for us. He's got your KFH hotline, 869-1240. That's ready to go for you. If you have anything you want to talk about, you can also leave us your comments on our video streams via Facebook, YouTube, or X. Also, thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. And as always, if you have us on the Odyssey app, whether in real time or after the fact, you can leave us comments on our app through that little microphone button. It'll leave you a voicemail. We can play those out over the air. Glad to be here with you on a Tuesday. Royals day off in the books. It's behind us. We get back to the action. We'll look at that schedule a little more specifically now and talk about the Royals as they begin a week-long road trip here. We'll get Tommy's thoughts on some of the happenings with the NFL draft as well. Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, is stopping by today to also talk about that draft, and we'll hit some of the other headlines. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, happy Tuesday. Good to see you. Missed yesterday, but good to be back today and looking forward to jumping right in.
Yeah, it's you missed a good day. It's a good day to be on the show on a Monday after the draft kind of thoughts. We can certainly dig more in. I want to get your take on what the Chiefs got done in that draft. We have a lot of time this time of year to really analyze that stuff. The NBA playoffs are going on. It's the first round, which I don't think is quite as interesting, although you're getting some officiating stuff with missed calls late and these things. But you know, we'll kind of lock into that a little bit as well later on. But how was your, you had a charity event yesterday for the Hadwins, who we've had on this show. How did that go?
Yeah, it was good. The Hadwin Family Foundation, PGA Tour golfer Adam Hadwin, his wife Jessica have a foundation that I'm thankful to be on the board for the foundation. We had our charity golf tournament, annual golf tournament out at Flint Hills National yesterday. Their foundation's goal is to raise money and awareness for couples, for families that are struggling with infertility. And so it's a really cool cause, really cool event. They do that every single year. And so yesterday was the tournament. It was a lot of fun, great time. And I was the beer cart driver. So drove around with the beer for refills for the golfers on the course.
Well, you know, there's usually a different profile.
You're right.
Particular job.
It's a grassroots organization. So, you know, we didn't outsource.
Sorry, did you say grass?
It's a grassroots organization. So, yeah, they didn't outsource anything like that. So it was the members of the board that, you know, jumped in and worked on that. So I drove the beer cart around and it was fun. It was a good day.
I think you should be flattered.
I didn't get any tips. Like, I got no tips, unfortunate.
In a lineup of people, and they're like, ooh, we need beer cart driver. You know, based on a typical profile there, if they looked at the lineup and like, you know what, Tommy, I think you'd be a good fit. I think you should be flattered by that.
Well, I mean, I think that they look at me and they recognize, hey, you like beer and you have a valid driver's license. And that was the only qualifications that I think I needed to drive that beer cart.
Yeah. For those that don't, either aren't playing along, beer cart drivers are typically more attractive women.
Right.
That do that. But Tommy does it well too.
I did. I mean, proud of him. You know, you got to flaunt it. If you got it, flaunt it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun though. I'm glad that they have that event. We've had them on the show. We're so glad that they live here now, all jokes aside, and are a part of the community. And this cause is a big deal. And we get to follow Adam Hadwin on tour and all the things that he's doing. So, it's a lot of fun and that was a cool thing. Hopefully if you're out there, you got a chance to talk to Tommy. All right, Tommy. Let's kind of take an overview here. The draft is in the books. The Shedeur Sanders fallout is continuing. As we get reports yesterday that there were NFL owners after the pre-draft process that basically said you're not taking him. It's so funny to me, like what distractions owners are concerned with and what distractions they're not concerned with. Like the things that Aaron's like, oh, it'll be fine. You know, oh that violent incident in the past, no big deal. Like we'll just get through that. But boy, this kid's making TikTok videos and, you know, has come from a place of arrogance. Now he can't deal with that in an NFL locker room. We don't want any of that. It almost seems fake. It almost seems like it's a manufactured late round pick so that if Shedeur has success, it'll be this great story. It's just wild to me. It's wild to me. No matter what you thought of Shedeur as a pro prospect, you didn't think of him as a fifth round pick. You didn't think of him as what, like the sixth or seventh quarterback off the board. Even his detractors didn't think of him in that light. It's just, it's crazy to me. It's funny.
Well, yeah, I'm a detractor. I mean, I don't think that he is all that good. I've never really thought that he was, a first round pick or, you know, this future star in the NFL. I never really saw it. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's a fine quarterback, but I think he's been propped up, you know, by the circus around him. And so I totally understood the hesitation from teams, not because of anything else other than just I don't think he's all that great. I think he's okay, but I don't think he, you know, grades out, in my opinion at least, as this future superstar in the league. So I understood the hesitation, but everything else surrounding it, all of the other, you know, for lack of a better term, bullcrap that went on around the draft process with Shedeur, it definitely got in the way of just that evaluation of, do you think he's going to be a good quarterback or not? And really, at the end of the day, I mean, that's the most important question, right? Doesn't matter how arrogant he is, doesn't matter who his dad is, doesn't matter, you know, any of the things that are happening outside of it all. Is he going to be a good quarterback or is he not going to be a good quarterback? Yeah. And so, you know, it's hard for me to look at where he was drafted and be able to say like, hey, teams really answered that question. And it's really going to ultimately be up to Shedeur to prove it,
well,
you know, on
right.
the field with the Browns. But I was not surprised that he fell out of the first round. I was surprised that he fell all the way to the fifth. That's a little surprising for me, I think, when it was all said and done.
Yeah, with the risk people take at quarterback, it just surprises you that teams that still needed quarterback, and eventually he ended up, I think, in the best spot. I think the Browns were always the best spot for him. He misplayed his hand. I mean, he misplayed his hand. He, whoever was telling him, you know, that he was this prodigious top end pick, that it, you know, and that he would be able to, if some of the reporting is true, not go all in that pre-draft process. That was a misplayed hand is what it was. Now, at the end of the day, it only matters if you can play or not. So it affects him less than a lot of guys because he, you know, he's had a very privileged upbringing with his dad and all the things that they've been able to do. So it's not like, you know, for a lot of people, this would be financially and realistically devastating, right? Like you just went from a whole bunch of money to not very much. I think that's less of a concern for him. So at the end of the day, like no matter what happened, why it happened, how it happened, he ended up, I think, in the best spot and he can get out there and play. And maybe now this is sort of a wake up moment of, yo, dude, like the league doesn't think you're as good as you think you are. So go prove it. Go show them that you are.
Well, and that's what the GM of the Browns said immediately after they drafted him. Like, you know, you're not going to be handed anything. You got to come in and compete. You got to earn that spot. And, you know, that's something that I don't know if he heard a lot from, a lot of people over the course of his life. And this might be the very first time. It's going to be adversity. We'll see if he's able to overcome that or not.
Like, based on the things you hear Prime say and the way he coaches, it's so hard for me to imagine he was given that advice from his dad. Like, it just didn't, I don't know. Anywho, we'll come back. Let's talk about some of the other things that you liked, you didn't like from the draft when we return. We'll get into Royals baseball today at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. We're glad to have our Prairie Fire coffee keeping us fueled up and ready to roll each and every morning here at KFH and all across the Odyssey networks. Tommy, let's talk a little bit more about this NFL draft. So, you know, I talked with Brandon yesterday. I think, you know, he was not quite as into the Josh Simmons pick initially as we were, but I think he said yesterday, as he saw the rest of the draft play out, he liked it. I thought it was a really well done job by them. They didn't have to trade up to get the guy that I thought they needed to come away with, or the profile, I should say, of a guy they should have come away with there. And that allowed them to do a lot of things. They then used the rest of their picks to move up several spots in different places and get guys that they liked. As far as like needs and position, they checked all the boxes. That's, you know, they came away with exactly what we thought they should come away with, and they got aggressive in getting some of those guys. I think, you know, they still have to get the players right, but strategically, I thought they did a really, really good job throughout the draft.
I think about the only box that maybe didn't get checked was tight end, and that had been something that had been talked about and speculated for a long time, even potentially that the Chiefs could look at an early draft pick, an early round pick on a tight end, because we all know that Travis Kelce is not long for the league. And so what does that succession plan look like? They've got, you know, Noah Gray, who had a really productive 2024. They've got Jared Wiley, who I know was injured for a lot of last year, but they drafted him in the draft last year, and he's going to be entering into year number two. So they've got players at that position, but I am a little bit surprised that even in a later round, they didn't try to go tight end and at least provide some additional depth there, because you never know. And with Travis Kelce more than likely being done sooner rather than later, you know, having that succession plan, I think, is important.
I mean, George Kittle just got a $40 million guarantee on a 4-year, almost $80 million contract. Chiefs have been so fortunate to have Travis Kelce and his contract and his price and everything else. I think, you know, it will be really interesting. They have, look, Noah Gray is absolutely good enough to be a starting tight end in this league, especially for the Chiefs. So I think they're probably okay there. And I think it's a position that's getting really expensive. You got to be in a pretty good position to take these tight ends. There's not a lot of great ones, but rookies are finally at that position beginning to have a little more impact than they ever have. It's always been a position that takes forever, you know, for players to get up to speed, basically. But now we've seen over the last couple of years, so we'll see. But it's clearly becoming a more premium and a more expensive position. If that continues to happen after, you know, whatever the post-Kelce era comes, I'm fine with them rolling with, you know, with Wiley. I mean, with Gray, and we'll see if Wiley can develop into anything. We got nothing out of him last year. I think the other thing I take away, and the Chiefs got their running back late in the draft, and he's a guy we like. I mean, you know, we all have heard him and heard of his name, and I think he fits a profile that will fit in well with Kansas City. One thing I take away from the entire draft, though, I mean, I think all the teams in the AFC West taking running backs like they did, you know, early, all of them, that's interesting. And I think, you know, when you look at the Chiefs, they better be ready to stop the run next year. Because you know, if Sean Payton invested in a back early, they are going to use that back a ton. Obviously, the Raiders will with Ashton Jeanty. They were one of the worst run teams in football last year. They just got a whole lot better. And then the Chargers go and get their guy early in a draft. You know how much Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. So you're looking at three teams that want to do that, that all just got really talented at the position. The Chiefs better be ready to stop the run, because I think that's going to be a trend we see. I love that the running back's being valued again. And, you know, all those players may not hit, but I like all three players. Just, you know, personally, I like all three of those players, Hampton and JT and RJ Harvey. But I think their fits are near perfect, like, for those particular teams and coaches.
Well, you know, the Chiefs had really good success a year ago defensively in stopping the run, and they did a really good job at limiting lead backs against their opponents. And, you know, so that's going to be something that I know that, you know, the three head coaches that are opposite of the Chiefs in that division are going to really try to lean on. They're going to try to break that trend and, you know, have the Chiefs, you know, stop them on the ground. I think with having a couple of really dynamic running backs, that's going to be a challenge absolutely for, you know, the defensive front for Kansas City. And I think it plays into, you know, sort of this thought process of, okay, at defensive tackle, like we know what they've got pass rushing wise, and we know that they've got Chris Jones up the middle, but they don't have Derek Nnadi, you know, going into this season. And so really that's going to, that may end up being an issue. They don't have Turk Wharton. That may end up being an issue. And so what does that defensive front look like for Kansas City? And are they going to be able to, you know, a year older on that defensive front, and they added in a veteran in Jerry Tillery, are they going to be able to stop the run as effectively as they were able to do last season?
Probably not. And then, you know, probably not. And you look at, you know, some of their biggest contenders and competitors in the conference, and they'll run the ball too. Run defense is going to be really critical all across the AFC this year. It just is. Like a lot of these teams, and it's, again, it trends in the NFL this way all the time. And it swings back and forth. Right now, we are in a run because everybody's playing their safeties deep, right? Like if you're going to take away the deep throw, what do? You run the ball. And then until they start selling out to stop the run, and then you start throwing it over the top again. I mean, it's pretty simple. I get it. That it's what makes it interesting for the AFC West to me is you've got three coaches there now that all want to run the ball. All three of them have made a living on big time ground games and that style of football. Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh. Like all of them want to run the ball, and they all just took first or second round running backs. They all just spent a ton of capital at that position. They aren't even trying to hide what they want to do next year. They all want to run the ball. And so, yeah, the Chiefs' biggest reach, I think, kind of universally, was the defensive tackle from Tennessee. Like, if you look at all the draft grades and the analysis post, you know, post all that stuff, that seemed like the biggest reach for them. Obviously, they liked that player if they were willing to do that. I don't have a hot take on Lot. Like, I don't, whatever.
Well, and he grades out too, position, by the way, as more of a pass rusher as opposed to a run stopper. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to know, like, what kind of packages will he play in? You know, is he somebody that they can rely on when you're playing these divisional opponents twice a season to be able to stop, you know, these new explosive running backs they've got?
I mean, it's, and you look at it now, if you're the Chiefs and you're glad that Chris Jones is back, you're certainly glad that Nick Bolton is back, right? Like those things now look better because that's going to be the test early on. There have been a lot of years where the Chiefs didn't stop the run well. And last year they happened to do it well. They're going to have to do it well again. And there's a lot of different ways they can do that. I think they feel good about leaving their corners by themselves so they can sort of sell out to do it a little bit. I think, though, that if we're looking for early trends, that's one that really jumps out to me, is that fact that the AFC West may lead football collectively, you know, and then there's the Chiefs who don't run the ball much, at running the football. Like, they all are going to do it.
Well, and that's the really interesting thing when you compare and contrast the other teams in the division and even some of the other teams in the conference in general that loaded up at running back and drafted these studs early on in the draft. And then you contrast that with the Chiefs, and they've got Isaiah Pacheco, they've got Kareem Hunt, they've got Elijah Mitchell, and then they spent a 7th-round pick on Breshard Smith. You know, there's nothing that tells you that the Chiefs are going to lean on the run game at all. I mean, like, even any more than what they did a year ago, because even Breshard Smith, you know, they take him in the 7th round, and he might be one of the best receiving running backs, you know, coming out of college, going into the draft. I mean, this guy can, you know, get out wide even and have a lot of success. He started his career as a wide receiver. That's probably going to be a lot of where we see him coming in, probably a 3rd down type guy out of the backfield or even split out wide and catching passes. That's really where he grades out. And so it's just really interesting when you look at Hampton and Jeanty and Harvey, like even in that division, and we know what those coaches want to do. And on the flip side, it's a completely different philosophy with Kansas City. And they've got Pacheco, who we all like Isaiah Pacheco, but he hasn't shown him, you know, being able to be durable because of the way that he runs the ball. Kareem Hunt is old. Elijah Mitchell has never regained what he did his rookie season. And then you've got a seventh round draft pick. So it's like a, it's almost kind of like the island of misfit toys a little bit at running back for the Chiefs when you compare it to at least what their counterparts in the division did.
And they've done that for a long time. The Chiefs have always sort of been ahead of that. And Patrick Mahomes allows you to do that. Here's an interesting number with running backs as it pertains to the Chiefs. Last year, in the Patrick Mahomes era, so the last seven seasons, last year was the most that the Chiefs have run the ball with running backs. But it's by a pretty good margin, the least effective they've ever been running the ball. Okay, so they ran it more. They had more running back attempts last year than they have in any year since 2018. But their yards per carry was significantly lower, by almost half a yard on the lowest seasons than it has been.
Well, and don't you think defenses recognized, like, as the season was progressing, that it wasn't like they had, outside of Travis Kelce, really any threats? I mean, because Xavier Worthy was still kind of coming into his own. DeAndre Hopkins didn't come in until later in the season.
I think it was an offensive line thing. I think the Chiefs didn't have a choice for the reasons we talked about, and maybe we didn't give them enough credit for going outside their norm. They couldn't pass block, so they had to run the ball. And teams over time, like, they're going to know, like, they have to run the ball because they can't block us on the edge. We don't even have to blitz. Like, we don't have to try very hard to put pressure on the quarterback. Let's sell out to stop the run. Now, they still had their own. It wasn't an, I don't want to call it an effective offense, but Tommy, they went 15-1. So, like, they made it work. So I think what I see for this team, and this goes back to the Simmons pick and some of the things they've done in the offseason and bringing back Trey Smith. As long as, you know, they can fill the gap left by Joe Tooney, their offensive line is going to be a better pass blocking. There is almost no scenario where they're not a better pass blocking offensive line than they were a year ago. And that's going to change the defense's ability to do what it did against them a year ago, whether that means more shots over the top, whether it means they can, you know, run a little more of the offense they typically would like to run. Fewer carries, but more effective and more well-timed runs. Maybe that's the case. We don't know yet, but we do know they'll be better at that position. I do think what we saw last year was really interesting, though, because we sat here until we were blue in the face and said, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. I mean, Andy Reid, for an Andy Reid team, they kind of did, right? They didn't do it very well, but they didn't have a choice.
You know, remember they had Pacheco out, you know, for a period of time with that broken leg.
A lot of that is a Kareem
Hunt
thing.
They were leading on Kareem Hunt. I mean, that was really the only option that they had at that point. And, you know, because remember for a while it was Kareem Hunt and Carson Steele. Like, those were the guys in the running back, in the backfield for the Chiefs.
Kareem Hunt can pass block and he can fall forward.
Yeah.
Like, he looks very much like late career Zeke Elliott right now. Like, he's always going to fall forward. He's always going to get you 2.5-3 yards. And he can pass block. And that's why he was there last year. But he wasn't effective. So, yeah, they didn't. You know, they went. And I do like the back they took in the seventh. I don't think Elijah Mitchell's going to be a factor.
I think that they've telegraphed, to your point, they've telegraphed what they plan on doing this season. Because, you know, they didn't go in free agency and get a running back other than Elijah Mitchell, which is probably a non-factor. You know what Kareem Hunt is going to do. You know what Isaiah Pacheco is going to do. And the running back that they picked is, again, one of the best receiving running backs coming out of college. They're going to use him out of the backfield to catch the football. That's why they drafted him. And so they didn't go and get an early down running back. Like, that's not what they did in the draft. And outside of Isaiah Pacheco, when healthy, they don't have an early down running back. I mean, I guess Kareem Hunt to an extent, but Elijah Mitchell's not going to be that guy. And even Breshard Smith is not going to be a 20-plus carry guy. He's not even going to be a 10-plus carry guy. Like, this is a true running back by committee that the Chiefs are going to implement going into this season. And I think you could tell by the way that they utilized their draft capital how they want to get back to that pass first offense. That's really the way that's where they've, you know, made their living. That's their bread and butter. They want to get back to that.
And why wouldn't they? Right? Like, why wouldn't they when you're going to run out Rice and Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce at the top?
And I like the Royals pick, by the way.
He probably
can compete for like a, you know, the fourth running back or for a fourth wide receiver spot. Like, I like that pick for Kansas City too. They didn't go too high, I don't think, in grabbing a wide receiver. I thought that was about the right area of the draft for them to take him.
Yeah. And he'll come in, whereas like Sky Moore came in with way too much pressure, right? Like way too much. He needs to do this because they're kind of similar skill sets. This dude can come in and have absolutely no expectation.
That's why I wasn't going to be a big fan. Like, I know that there were mocks that had Luther Burden going to the Chiefs in the first round or second round. I'm like, no, like, let's not do that again, because you're going to put a lot of pressure on. And, you know, the good thing with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy in the past couple of years is that, yeah, those guys had pressure on their shoulders because they were taken early. They lived up to it. And not at first. I mean, both years, the Chiefs pushed them into duty. Rashee Rice 2 years ago, Xavier Worthy a season ago, pushed them into duty early. And it for a while, it didn't really look like it was going to pan out. And they came along. They developed into really good wide receivers, both of them. I didn't want to do that again for a third season in a row.
Well, right. And they're not going to have to do anything with Royals, because they don't need him to be anything more than a fifth wide receiver for a little while. And his skill set, Brandon laid out very well yesterday what he does, sounds a lot like Rashee Rice. So if Rice gets suspended, you've got your backup plan there. But they moved around to get him, right? He's a fourth round pick. They clearly like him. He's a guy that a lot of people felt like fell in the draft. So yeah, I think I'm glad to see them address it, but not more aggressively than they needed to. They were aggressive with their drafting of a defensive tackle everybody thought should be a little bit lower. Ashton Gelati, by the way, I don't know if you saw it. There was a story about him a long time ago at Louisville, and it's worth checking out. Like, this dude seems like you want to root for him. We'll just put it that way. Like, well documented that he gives most of his NIL earnings back to like local food shelters and all kinds of stuff. And he's putting in the time. So it seems like they got a really good dude there. One reason to root for it. And then the other positions, like all of them just sort of make sense. The Chiefs had a very logical draft, I think, with the top end and Simmons of being, I mean, it could be one of those things, right? It's this injury, and I get injuries, and there's a lot of teams that are like, you know, they avoid risk at every, you know, possible scenario. The Chiefs have proven us to us in drafts. They just can take risks that others can't because they have the safety net of Mahomes. If Simmons works out and is healthy and is as talented as literally everybody that follows this says he is, there's nobody that follows this stuff that doesn't think he's a premier top 10 talent, if not for injury, man, the Chiefs, it could be transformational for the franchise because they can finally be done with this question that's loomed over them for so long. The Chiefs, we go in depth on what they do. We like it. I think most people like it. Haven't seen anybody that didn't, you know, like what they're doing. Here's the interesting thing about the draft. Maybe it's the most interesting thing about the draft this year. We had a quarterback taken number one overall. We have now covered the draft for three shows here, for post-draft, since the first round is in the books. And I don't know that we've spent 30 seconds on Cam Ward. I really, like, how strange is that? You got a guy like, and his story is incredible. You know, from where he came from and like what he was recruited as and all that stuff. Like, his story's awesome. He had a great year. Nobody on the planet is talking about it. And it's just a really interesting, I don't think we've ever had a number one quarterback, like a quarterback go number one overall and just not be talked about at all.
I don't think that's a bad thing for Cam Ward. I don't think it's a bad thing for Ward. I don't think it's a bad thing for the Titans. I think that they probably prefer that. I mean, I would imagine that Cam Ward and his crew, going into the draft. I mean, they knew that the circus was going to be around Shedeur Sanders. And, you know, so if they can go number one overall, make that money, go to the Titans, who are absolutely quarterback needy, and fly under the radar, man, that's the best case scenario. We talked about it, I think it was on Friday's show, about how there maybe has not been a less hyped number one overall pick in a long time. I mean, and really, like, especially at quarterback. You know, you can go back to the guy from Georgia a couple of years ago that went number one overall that didn't get a ton of hype, I don't feel like, because he wasn't a quarterback. But yeah, Cam Ward's a QB, and he hasn't gotten a ton of attention. And I think that's really telling based on all the other draft storylines and everything else going on, that really there had been very little attention paid to the actual guy that went number one.
And like you said, it's a good thing. There's a video, I think, through the pre-draft process somewhere where Shadur was trying to get Cam to do a fun video. He's like, nah, man, I just play football. Which is fine, which is very unusual, right, for that generation of player. But I think, you know, the path for him to get there, it probably is as much as anybody else. It's just like all business. Like, nope, like I just am going to do this. And you like to see that thing, because that thing is a pretty universal trait among the great ones. Now, it's not exclusive. Like, Patrick Mahomes loves to have fun. You know, like he's a little older than this generation of, is it TikTok, I assume, is what they're all doing these videos on and stuff. But that, you know, like that, you want to see that killer instinct, and you never know if it's going to be there at a high level in the NFL. But among the great ones, it's pretty universally a trait that they have. And so to see it is good. Now, can he play the position? We'll find out. I mean, the Titans, they were in a position to take the top quarterback, and they took the guy that most feel was the top quarterback, and I'm good with it. Like, I don't have any issue with Cam Ward. I just don't know his game very well, because I didn't watch a lot of him. You know, he didn't play on a team that was in like high profile bowl games, and didn't play in the Big 12. And he kind of was late. He was a late arrival a little bit to college football. Whereas, like, you know, Dillon Gabriel's been around forever. We've all seen Dillon Gabriel play. He's been playing for a decade. So it's different with Ward. I hope he's awesome. Like, I think he has a real chance to be very good. I just, you know, it's like with Shedeur, right? I feel like I can evaluate his game, right? Like, I like his, because we watch Big 12 football. We watched a ton of Shedeur Sanders the last 2 years. It's not quite the same for me with Ward, but, you know, I root for it. He seems like he's going to be a fun player if it works out to have in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cam Ward didn't really play for programs that, you know, are must-see TV. I mean, he played for Washington State and was a really good quarterback for Washington State. Then ultimately went to Miami. Miami's more high profile for sure, but Miami's not an SEC team. They're not a Big Ten team. You know, they're in the ACC, so they're not getting, you know, huge visibility nationally like those other two conferences are. And so, you know, yeah, like he flew under the radar a little bit in college, but I mean, he still even had, you know, really good accolades. I mean, the fact that he was an All-American, you know, first team All-American, and, you know, all these other things, ACC Player of the Year last year. Like, he's won a bunch of awards, and he's been extremely successful over the course of his career. But I do think that that's part of the reason why he didn't get all of the attention, was because he wasn't in the SEC. He wasn't in the Big Ten, you know? And right. So knowing that, like, yeah, that's going to at least hamper a little bit of the attention you're going to get.
Yeah. And should, you know, had Shedeur not had his famous last name, he'd have been in the same boat, right? Started at Jackson State for a couple of years and then ends up at Colorado, which isn't a great program. We just happened to watch a lot of Colorado because we watched the Big 12. That's why I felt good about his game or whatever.
Well, and the attention from the country in general is on Colorado because of who the coach is.
Right, right,
and you've got
right.
celebrities
I mean.
The on the sideline and
were there,
all of that. So even if it wasn't the Big 12, people would have paid attention to it for sure.
But they have similar paths, right? Jackson State to a big time league. If you go back further than Washington State with Cam Ward, he started at Incarnate Word.
Right.
So it is pretty, like, their paths are pretty similar. And their success is pretty similar, honestly. Like, neither of them played for programs that were, although Colorado got real close last year to being in a playoff or anything like that. But to spend a couple of years at a smaller school and then to eventually get into the bigger league and find success, the paths are similar for Shadur and Cam Ward on the field, right? On the field, paths are pretty similar. So that's an interesting part. I can guarantee you Ward will become one of my favorite players. What Cam Ward represents to me is what the good part of, you know, the transfer portal and NIL, the changing rules. Cam Ward is like should be the poster boy of what's right about it. As a guy who went to D2 schools that for four generations of quarterback sent quarterbacks to the NFL. Now wrap your head around that. I went to a Division II school, four straight. I believe it was four straight quarterbacks at West Texas A&M all played in the NFL. That's pretty wild, right? But they all had to get there as seventh round picks or whatever, as undrafted free agents or whatever it was. We went Dalton Bell to Keith Knoll, and then a couple of guys, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but all of them played in the NFL. So now to see Cam Ward start his career at a place like Incarnate Word, same level, right? Division II, but then have the opportunity to slide up and move around and eventually get to the ACC. And I bring that up because I guarantee you all four of those quarterbacks would have been good quarterbacks in the ACC. They were tremendously talented. And so now this path exists for these guys who are outplaying their, you know, they're outplaying their level a little bit. Like Cam Ward in the old days would have spent four damn years at Incarnate Word and maybe gets a sniff and a chance to be a practice squad guy. Like the path for them to get there is so difficult that it's just like, okay, now in the current era, this guy who's very good, who was under-recruited out of high school, he ends up at Miami, A, has a chance to make some money at Miami, and then now he has a path to be the first number one overall pick.
And by the way, Incarnate Word was the only scholarship offer this guy got. He did not get not even Division II, NAIA, like nobody else offered him a scholarship. That was the only one he got.
It's very common, right, in that level, for that to be the case. That's not unusual. You know, it's just like that is very common because for whatever reason, they were under-recruited, right? There's a million reasons why that happens. Million. But it happens all the time. Like all the time it happens. So you just like you can't overthink sometimes a talented player. And that's what happens to a lot of these guys at lower levels. So that was the other thing I wanted to mention, because again, like it wasn't like Washington State to Miami. No, it was Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami. By most accounts, most people's favorite two quarterbacks in this draft. Okay. Let's take Shadur Sanders' name out of the equation. And maybe he would have been a Division I talent if he didn't choose to go play for his dad at Jackson State. I can't remember. I don't think he was. But like the two guys that most people had as the best quarterbacks in this class, neither of them, Tommy, started in Division I football. Neither one of them did. So as we all want to get angry sometimes with the portal, let's remember that fact too. Like here's two dudes, and one of them went number one overall, that didn't even start in Division I football. So as we get a little further down the road, I think all of this stuff's going to be a good thing. That would have never happened. It couldn't have happened. Like it wouldn't even be possible. Cam Ward before the, you know, being allowed the freedom to transfer, like he would have never been able to be the first overall pick. Not because of his ability. His ability hasn't changed, but because the opportunity wouldn't have been there. Now it is. That's a good thing. As much as we all get annoyed with the transfer portal, there's a reason it's the right thing to do. If you look for those reasons, that right there is a reason it is the right thing, because it's allowed a kid whose ability allows him to be the number one overall pick to have the opportunity to do it that he would have never had before.
Well, think about the other quarterbacks too, that, you know, surrounding Cam Ward and even Shadur Sanders to that extent. You know, you've got Jackson Dart, that he was a USC guy in Ole Miss, you know, played in played in, you know, for big time premier programs. Jalen Milroe played for Alabama. Dylan Gabriel, we know about him and all the different places that he played, including Oklahoma and, you know, Oregon and like premier programs around the country. And so, like, you've always got the blue blood guys. You've always got the blue chip guys. Like, they're the ones that are getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so, because they're on big time stages and they're out in front of it all the time. But then quietly under the radar, here comes Cam Ward, you know, and he becomes the number one overall pick and goes to a team that I go back to what I said before. I think that the Titans probably prefer for Cam Ward to fly under the radar, you know, and for if they're going to use the first round pick or the number one overall pick on Cam Ward, being able to bring him on, because I mean, remember the circus that surrounded Caleb Williams when he went number one overall a year ago, and to an extent it's still there. Like, the hopes and dreams of the Bears organization rest firmly on the shoulders of Caleb Williams. It's probably the same for Cam Ward internally, but not externally, because nobody's really paying attention to that. And I think that that's an advantage for Cam Ward and what the Titans want to accomplish.
And it's a good, like, it's a good place to be able to do it. It feels like a really good fit, right? An organization that in general flies under the radar, that's almost, except for last year, obviously, they had the number one overall pick, almost always better than they're expected to be. It does feel like a good fit. And this is the first time, at least for me, that I've spent any real time talking about the number one overall pick in the draft. And he was a quarterback. He wasn't a defensive lineman. Isn't that crazy? We'll come back. We'll talk a little baseball in the next hour. Felix Johnson joins us as well, though, to get a draft take. We'll be back on Sports Daily.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.